working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's the Holy Ghost building. It's the Holy Ghost building. It's the Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I
okay. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, where we're here every Saturday morning to answer your questions and melt away your anxieties and solve your dilemmas about home ownership in the great state of Arizona, from Nogales to Fredonia, from Ehrenberg to Alpine, and all locations in between. We're here for you. Jennifer, how many phone calls did you take last hour?
Can't you see the smoke?
Holy cow.
I think everybody's back from their summer vacations.
You think everybody's
kids starting
home?
School, wow. And everybody's trying to make up some time here all over the place.
All right. Well, that's specifically what the 9 o'clock hour is scheduled for any topic, any project you're trying to tackle, you give us a ring. The 10 o'clock hour, we generally try and take one topic and drill down kind of deep. So 9 o'clock is kind of like home ownership 101. The 10 o'clock hour is kind of like home ownership 201, where we go to the sophomore level, take the topics and get into them in a little bit deeper detail. But that's not to say that we won't take your call. Go ahead and interrupt us. You're at my house when you're tuned into the show. And you got a project. Maybe you couldn't get in at the 9 o'clock hour because, I mean, virtually every single line was filled. Well, during top of the hour break, we come in and we clear all the lines. We answer everybody's questions offline. So we have five open lines right now, 1-888-767-4348. And like I said earlier, we're not going to talk about super cooling.
We've done that enough.
I've got such an education. I answered like six questions for you offline. I was like, Rosie's super cooled out. Just ask me. I've heard it all this week.
Yeah, yes. We're that is still a business opportunity for someone. Oh, and I was almost cussed out this week.
Almost.
Yes, by someone who's been super cooling for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, very aggravated at me. He says I don't give the father of super cooling enough recognition. Steve Kep. He said, Rosie, when you talk about it, it sounds like you're trying to put the impression you invented it.
Get the glory.
And
I don't think we've ever done that.
I try not to give Steve all the credit. Yeah, Steve Kep from Advanced Home System is the father of super cooling.
It's going to sound like an infomercial if we say Steve Kep Advanced Home Systems every single time. People are going to tune out thinking they're listening to an infomercial.
He is. So
it's really not. It's playing the rate at which you're buying electricity. We had a text about it. Does this work in the winter for
super
heating?
Warming?
You could, but
it's a lot harder.
Arizona's winters are so mild, and for mountain cabins, so many of them are on gas.
Yes.
Well, gas is a completely different thing
because
you buy it in tank bulks in most mountain cases. So it's a game you play with how you buy electricity at what rate.
But we're not talking super cool.
No. We're not talking super cool.
This hour, we're talking about creating that mother-in-law suite, father-in-law suite, parent-in-law suite. And maybe they're not your in-laws. Maybe it is your mom. Maybe it is your dad. But you know what? There's another generation that are coming back home, too. And it's the college graduates or they venture out for that first career attempt and it doesn't work out. And they end up having to come back home as well. Creating that second living habitat at your house for whoever it is that you're trying to accommodate. We have lots of different variables and options for you. On one end of the spectrum, there's a company called Cab Fab. Cab Fab. They build little bitty houses on wheels. And if your city or municipality will let you permit it, you will put this little mini house on wheels in your backyard, decorate it to look as permanent as possible, to make the inhabitant of the house feel totally comfortable. And you connect it to the sewer, you connect it to the water, you run some power over to it, and it's between 250 and 500 square feet. It's got a little sitting area, mini kitchenette, bathroom, and a bedroom. And it's a private living quarters. And at the point that particular person that you've moved it on property to accommodate no longer wants to be there, moves on one way or another, then you put the building on Craigslist, sell it to someone, and they simply pull it out your backyard and move it to their backyard. And now you have the space of the backyard again. Cab fab.
And there's about a half dozen tiny home manufacturers out there that I have seen.
Right here in Phoenix, Cavco has started building 600-square-foot mother-in-law suites, pre-built, ready to be delivered onto your lot.
Tell you what, if you can drop it there, it saves everyone a ton of money.
Yeah, I was talking to my mother-in-law about cab fab, and she was worried that if she moved into it, I'd lock her inside, hook it up to the truck, and drive her somewhere.
Let's just see how fast this truck goes.
I said, Mimi, now I would never do that. She says if she moved in, she would like the wheels taken off the axle. I would never do that, ever. We're gonna have to find a way to bring them all back home. We certainly have the room on our lot. We'll have to create a separate casita would be the answer. You have all the privacy. You have all the feeling of a permanent residence. You have an asset anchored to your property permanently that forever will be appreciating sitting there on your property. But, you know, it is the absolute most expensive way to go. People ask me all the time, how much will it cost me to build a backyard casita? And I think most of these people are looking at the cost of private in-home care for their elderly mm-hmm. parents. And, I mean, it's pretty easy to find facilities that start at $4,000 a month.
Mm.
I know good friends.
That's a heck of a mortgage. You could be a nice house in Arizona for that.
That have put recently admitted their parents into care facilities up to $11,000 a month. And so you start thinking about that. Okay.
This is awful. And I hope whoever your friend is listening. Does this mean they don't expect their parents to live more than 2 or 3 months? I mean, that's...
No.
That's $120,000 a year.
It is. And the parents, you know, can afford it. They've got it, set aside, and they're prepared for it. But you get into a memory care facility, it gets pretty expensive. And so people start looking at these options, and they're very real options. I don't want to make light of it or fun of it. I mean... You want to bring them back. You want to get them in close. But you also, at that point, also want to make sure they're given the proper care and someone's monitoring the medicine allocations and monitoring them to make sure they don't need help in the middle of the night out there in that separate casita. So, but the separate casita, you start looking at that $4,000 a month, $5,000 a month, $7,000 a month, and you think, you know, for a couple $100,000, I could put something up back there, pay for it over the course of 3 or 4 years, and then I'd have an asset that would only continue to appreciate forever. You can't do much of a standalone casita for $200,000. It's incredible. But I tell people all the time, if you're going to think about it, I have to bring every single trade into your house, onto your property, and we're dealing in a small structure, so I'm having to pay a minimum price for virtually every single product I'm putting in there. It's really hard for us to build a nice, standalone, separate casita for much under $200 a square foot. It's really, really hard. And the ones we've done recently tend much closer to $350 a square foot. That's a mini kitchenette that's built in materials to match the materials of the home, landscaped to make it look like it was always there, tied in to the architecture and the master plan of the lot and the plot, and the site plan. And when you start talking those kind of numbers, you rule out that option pretty quickly, and then you start looking at some of these other options. And those are some of the things we want to talk about today, is other options. But we are taking calls, and we do have Frank. Let's take Frank before we have to go on break real quick. Frank has called in with a question off topic, but that's perfectly okay. Frank, good morning. How can we help you, my friend?
Good morning. Thanks for this opportunity.
Yeah, you bet.
I live in a rent house, and the water pressure by the gauge I put on the outside spigot is 76 pounds. What kind of idea could I shoot the landlord, have him reduce that down to that 60 or 65 number that you're talking about?
Yeah, you could call any one of the Rosie certified plumbers and have a pressure reducing valve mounted where the water pressure comes into the house. What part of town are you located in? That's high.
Chandler,
okay.
This house was built in 1958, according to a date stamp under the sink.
Okay, all right. It has certainly survived, I would guess, with that higher pressure for a long time. Is there some reason you in particular want to take it down?
Well, we got a water pipe here that hammers when the cycle of the toilet stops. It'll vibrate a bit.
Yeah, I bet you do. That's one of the consequences of pressure that high. But a water pressure regulator valve mounted correctly on a 1958 home is probably going to involve converting the old gate valve, on-off gate valve, to a ball cock valve, kind of rebuilding the whole little manifold right there. You know, you could easily be talking about a price tag of about $500. Frank, another thing you could do is go to the website called Sioux Chief and get a water hammer arrestor. That's just one of the things you could do.